Hello, everybody. This is the translation of the message for Sunday, the 1st of March. Today, I invite you to meditate on a statement made by the Apostle Paul to his young colleague, Titus. Titus was left on the island of Crete to, according to Paul in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, put in order what remained to be settled. This concerns the church, Christian doctrine, and also the duties of each individual in many areas of life, from young people to the elderly. Yes, them too. Two reasons prompted Paul to write such a letter. One, the reputation of the island's inhabitants. Two, the grace of God manifested among men through the coming death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So firstly, the reputation of the island's inhabitants. A Cretan philosopher from the 6th century BC, Epimenides, had already written terrible things about the island's inhabitants, and Paul recalls them. We read in Titus chapter 1 and verse 12. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This reputation is like a trademark, since the name Crete is directly derived from the Greek word Kretizo, which means to be deceitful. Six centuries later, nothing seems to have changed much in the eyes of the Apostle Paul, except that a catalyst could change things, the nascent church. However, the risk that even this small church faces is that it might succumb to this mindset, because there are still influences who, as Paul says, disrupt entire families for dishonest gain. Verse 11. The first motivation for writing the letter, therefore, is the pervasive deceitfulness and the well-known reputation of the inhabitants in the Greek world. But a second, nobler reason compels Paul to write such a letter. Secondly, the grace of God has appeared. Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Paul can easily speak about these things. He knows where he comes from and how good it is to know God's grace and its liberating effects in one's life. Therefore, while the island of Crete was won over by this same grace of God, his only concern for the church is that it rely on this grace, that it be strengthened, that it persevere despite the prevailing negative mindset, and that those who comprise it be examples of good works. Finally, 2,000 years later, are we not in a somewhat identical social and spiritual climate? Last Sunday, our visitor asked us the same question. Are we not living in the same conditions as in the time of Lot and Noah? Today's influences are numerous, with even greater resources than those who are active in Crete. And families, society, and even churches are victims in many ways, don't you think? Should we close our eyes and even shut the doors of the church to avoid being overcome by the evil and malaise that pervades our lives? Or in the same way that Paul addresses Titus and, if possible, the Christians of his time, shouldn't we open our eyes to the shocking realities that bombard us daily and at the same time to the many signs of God's grace? Two reasons prompted Paul to write his letter. These same two reasons should motivate us as Christians to take stock of our commitments and choices and to perform the good works that God expects of us. It is not about our salvation through our works, but about the salvation of those around us, through our works imbued with God's grace, our faith in Jesus Christ, and our hope. Certainly one motivation lies in the expectation in time of the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. This is an expectation that is supposed to bring us peace. But the motivation that should reside closest to us, less comfortable because it exposes us, is that of to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, to quote the words of the Apostle Paul. Firstly, renouncing impiety. Strange remark. How is it possible that Cretan Christians could not be pious? The Sower's Bible, translation, renounce contempt for God. Really? Contempt for God in the church? One might then understand that it means renouncing anything that would be an easy religion, one that would satisfy us, a religion tailored to our own liking. But would it please God? Secondly, living wisely in the present age can also be translated as one who is on the right path. The Sower translation suggests understanding a balanced life. What is meant to enable us to stand firm, to prevent us from falling? What is meant to give us assurance is God's wisdom, God's justice, and a piety in keeping with that. Yes, let us be motivated by what it cost our Lord to give his life, the salvation of perverse and misguided generations, of generations weary and burdened. Let us make the necessary choices, both personally and as a church. May we please God. Paul suggested to Titus that he bring order to the Christians in Crete. Similarly, today I suggest this same type of exercise, to look at what should be improved, aligned with God's justice in our lives, in our families, our church. To continue in the same vein as an exercise, if you wish, I leave you with the verses of exhortation written by the author of the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. Personal recommendations. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Do we agree to seek ways to lift our weakened arms and strengthen our faltering knees? To chart a safe path so as not to harm ourselves further and even to be on the road to healing? Recommendations concerning relationships. Verses 14 and 15. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Let us agree to make an effort to be at peace with everyone and to watch over our thoughts and our speech so as not to succumb to bitterness to the point of poisoning those around us. Let us remember these verses, as well as the duties Paul proposed to the Cretans, both for our personal, physical and spiritual health and for the health of the body to which we belong, such as the church at Bergerac. Can we remain indifferent to this call?